Stand. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
When he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one whom he is betrayed.
Then the apostles began to ask one another, which one of them it could be who would do this? A dispute also arose among the apostles as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
the kings of the Gentiles lord over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has confirmed on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to Jesus,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
Jesus said to his apostles,
when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said,
no, not a thing.
Jesus said to them,
but now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counting among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said,
Lord, look, here are two swords.
He replied,
it is enough.
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up, pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, Is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around Jesus saw what was coming, they asked,
Lord, should we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said,
No more of this.
And Jesus touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple police and the elders who had come for him,
Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then the crowd seized Jesus and led him away. The crowd brought Jesus to the high priest's house, but Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said,
This man also was with him.
But Peter denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said,
Man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, until another kept insisting,
Surely this man also was with the prisoner, for he is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
Man, I do not know what you are talking about.
At that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him,
Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, Prophesy, who is
struck you?
They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. When Jesus came, the assembly of the elders and the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus to their council. They said,
If you are the Messiah, tell us.
Jesus replied,
If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
All of them asked, Are you then the Son of God? Jesus said to them,
You say that I am.
Then they said,
What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus, saying,
We found this man perverting our nation. Forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king.
Then Pilate asked Jesus,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered,
You say so.
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
I find no basis for an accusation against this man.
But they were assistant and said,
He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place.
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, Pilate sent Jesus off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been waiting to see him for a long time because he had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see him perform some signs. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. Then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other before they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
You brought me this man as one who has perverted the people, and here I've examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, this man has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him.
Then the elders all shouted all together,
Away with this fellow. Release Barabbas for us.
Barabbas was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection and that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
Crucify him!
A third time, Pilate said to them,
Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him.
But the elders kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict, and their demand should be granted. Pilate released the man that they asked for, and the one who had been put in prison for the insurrection and murder had been, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were the women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with Jesus. Would you please stand as you are able? When they came to the place they called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
He saves others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
There was also an inscription over Jesus that read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hung there kept derating Jesus and saying,
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus replied,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It is now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly, this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had been gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all Jesus' acquaintance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, did not agree with their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned, prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Here ends the Passion of Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, don't worry, I am not going to be preaching long. Today is the sixth Sunday in Lent. And we call in the Episcopal tradition, it begins Holy Week. Well, actually, the clergy call it something else, kind of opposite of holy, but we're not going there. Maybe you noticed a change in our church this week. Last week, we had a purple cloth behind the cross, and today we have a red one called a docile. So now if anybody asks you what that cloth is, you know, it's called a docile. Palm Sunday launches into our Holy Week, and the Passion of Jesus in his last days here on earth. If we're not careful, we can kind of get whiplash from Palm Sunday service, can't we? We started our service out on the east patio with the hearing of the story in Luke's gospel of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his last entry into Jerusalem. Everything was so upbeat. We processed behind the cross and the bagpipes. We sing the processional song, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, waving our palms and singing. And then we sat down and listened to our readings, and we hear a complete turn of events. The shouts of, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, change to shouts of, Crucify him, not even a week later. What a complete turn of events. How could people change their attitude about Jesus so fast? Well, I don't think we should be surprised, it should surprise us too much. This switch between the attitude is sometimes we see it all the time, even today. When a person doesn't meet our expectations or doesn't do what we want them to do, relationships end, marriages fail, families fall apart, and countries are torn apart. For the last 5 weeks, a group of us on Wednesday have been doing a Lenten Bible study called The Final Days, a Lenten journey through the Gospels. We've been looking at how each of the Gospel writers presented Jesus' final days here on earth. Though each of the Gospel writers has their own style and emphasis, they are, for the most part, telling the same story. Jesus, the healer, the prophet, the rabbi, comes into Jerusalem like a king. The Jewish people were looking for a king, but not the kind of king Jesus was called to be. He didn't come in a stallion with an army, but on a simple colt, a donkey, to ride into Jerusalem humbly. The people wanted Jesus to start a revolution to kick Rome out of power, but instead Jesus' kingdom was not a place so much, but people being reconciled to each other and to God. The religious leaders saw Jesus as a threat to their authority, so they opposed him. Jesus didn't live up to their expectations, and they wanted him as what they wanted him to do. So they turned on him. Before we get all self-righteous about what happened over 2,000 years ago, we are still turning on people today. Maybe it's just human nature to want what we want. Yet Jesus shows us another way. Jesus entered Jerusalem humbly. And even in the midst of his grave suffering, as he is dying on the cross, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." There was only one person that was all good. We are not all good. We are not all evil. But we all are sinners in need of a Savior. As we walk the way of the cross this Holy Week, I hope you will take some time to attend some of our services that lead up to the greatest gift we are given on Easter, the victory over sin and over death. Please join me and others on this journey to the empty tomb on Easter morning or on the vigil, and you will see once again a complete turn of events. Amen.